These two can turn your traffic jam into strawberry jam. The morning commute into a day that's you beaut. The drop off at school into a day that's cool. So whack your ear around the sound of Damon and Molly.
The podcast is back. Couple of weeks off, but we've still kind of been around. Well, I mean, I took a week off.
Yeah, you left me. You abandoned me.
But we're back together now. Do you feel like we've kind of got back on the level we were at before I took a holiday?
It kind of reminds me of the time I went backpacking and then returned to see my boyfriend again. And I was like, oh, I can't even remember how to kiss. You know what I mean?
Mwah.
Yeah, that's not how it goes.
That's definitely not how you and him probably kissed. Hey, it has been such a fun week. You actually went to the Adelaide Fringe last weekend and had to work through some feelings for a comedian because you were like, I've got to get him on the show. Not romantic feelings, but show feelings.
I had creative feelings.
Creative feelings.
Yeah, I was like, you're so good. I want you to be good on our show. And he was up for it, God bless him. Dan Muggleton's his name. You can catch up with the chat we had with him on the podcast, but it's not about Dan, it's about us.
That's it. This is all the golden nuggets of the conversations that went down this week, like Molly hulking out. I don't know. You were just angry at times this week. You ripped the microphone off. It's stand your breaker plates at home. Are you okay?
Do you remember when we had that conversation when we first met about who was more dramatic? That has just confirmed it right there.
Dramatic recreation of Molly's angry times throughout
the
week.
Not ever.
Oh, I can see it coming through now. Here's the podcast. The reason why we're having a chat is we went on a walk together. We went and got some snacks after the show yesterday, and it actually made for some interesting revelations because you picked yourself up some rice crackers and, you know, just handy snack to have throughout the morning.
Mm-hmm.
One of our colleagues actually saw you munching down on some rice crackers and asked, can I get in on some?
Can I jump in and explain myself?
Sure.
She asked me this and I immediately responded with, don't touch that end because I've licked them all.
Which is interesting. I mean, that was a gigantic red flag for me. They were seasoned rice crackers. And
barbecue.
No, you know, we're not in the situation here in the office where, like siblings, you need to lick things that you don't want other people to touch. You were just done it out of your own free will.
I don't know why I do it. I'm really embarrassed that this has come to the light on the radio, but it's fine. I don't know why. Sometimes I just get full. That's why I don't eat the crusts as well.
On toast.
On like toast, pizza, everything. It's too much for me.
The crust on the pizza is the best part.
What's wrong with you? The best part of the pizza is the smallest part of the triangle.
We would be great at eating pizza together.
Yeah, the rice cracker thing, I don't know. I just wasn't hungry, but I wanted a bit of flavour. So I just
do you go and eventually eat those rice crackers,
no,
or are they dead to you?
No, they're dead.
That's
to
incredible
me.
Food wastage.
Yeah, I know, but I don't do it often. It's just yesterday I was like, these people know me now. I can just let my real self fly. But then everyone wanted a bloody rice cracker, so I had to keep saying, only eat from this half because I've licked them all.
It's one of the stranger things I've heard in the office for a while, and it is absolutely number one under the category of weird food habits.
Do you reckon that's number one? I mean, it's pretty weird, but I've just read a response from Amber that's making me feel uncomfortable. She has said, choc ice cream with blue cheese, chocolate sauce, and caramel popcorn all in the same bowl at the same time. Was delicious. I wasn't pregnant either.
Amber, how do you even come across that?
You okay, Amber?
Yeah. Are you okay? I think you and Molly deserved it, like, maybe just be carted off together.
Yeah, true. I definitely can't talk. I'm the captain of the ship, Amber. But, yeah, that is an interesting one. Tracy has said metwurst with apricot jam. What's metwurst? Is that a meat thing?
Yeah, it's like processed cured meat.
Ooh, that's gross. I mean, I'm not a meat eater, so that's probably why I find that extra gross. I do a lot of weird food things, I think.
What else falls under that category? Because, I mean, if licking rice crackers and leaving to the side is one thing, then you're capable of anything.
I could eat Weet-Bix dry. I used to take that to school. It was like recess snack.
What?
Yeah, with like, this is the weirder part, with like butter and Vegemite on the Weet-Bix. Mum used to make it for us. It's pretty good.
Mum used to make
Yeah, she would like cut the Weet-Bix in half, then you put some butter and Vegemite on it, and then you squish it. It's like a little Weet-Bix sandwich.
God. Okay.
Cheese and tomato sauce. So you get the slice of cheese, like your Bega or whatever, and then you get your tomato sauce and you do a little swirl on it and you eat that for a snack.
All right, you need to stop now. Weird food habits is what we want to know from you this morning. On our Power FMSA Facebook page, can you beat Molly at her own game? Because damn, she's bringing some fire.
It all started, I want to say, 3 weeks ago. I was with my mum at the shops and I walked straight into my friend, who I have not seen in probably 3 years.
Okay, we're still at a one of coincidence. That's just a running up.
He was one of my really good mates when I lived in Melbourne, hung out all the time, and then obviously we're both creative, so we both kind of moved around, et cetera, et cetera, bumped into each other, said, hey, we should get a coffee and catch up.
Yep, great.
Which was great. Hadn't thought about it since. We then interviewed lovely Katie Wright on the show. She is performing as we speak at the Adelaide Fringe, and Jordan happened to be in her show, which is so weird again.
Now, I have been along to see Katie Wright Dynamite's Late Night Dynamite show, which you can get tickets to. In fact, on our Instagram stories right now, Power FMSA, we've got discount codes for tonight and tomorrow night. Jordan does a Yoho Diablo bit in it?
Yeah, he is floating in and out of the show. I believe it's sort of a variety style. I haven't seen it myself.
Correct.
But yeah, so that was brought to my attention because our boss here, Adam, said there was this amazing guy on Diablo, da-da-da, and I was like, oh, I know this guy, and then two and two together, it's Jordan, and that sparked my mind. Oh, my God, I saw him recently. He's here in Adelaide. We should make this happen. And we caught up. It was great. It was like old times again.
Fantastic.
During this catch-up, he said...
Did he do any tricks?
No, but I've seen him perform before and he's so good. He said, I'm loving The Fringe. If you want to see anything, hit me up. And I was like, yeah, cool. Because sometimes not everyone's down for seeing certain shows.
For sure.
And I sort of kept that in the back of my mind, right? Another coincidence involving Katie Wright happened, when was that? The other day, we had her on the show and she brought up Dirt, which is another Fringe show happening. The guy who's created it is also a friend of mine. I had no idea. Another one of those moments of like, whoa, trippy, right?
Okay, so this is the guy that's in the show Dirt. Name was Patrick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Patrick. He's a great guy. I had not thought about him in a very long time. Also a friend from Melbourne who I haven't seen in years. I then spoke to him and said, oh, hey, like, so cool you're doing this. I need to come to your show. And my mind then trailed back to who will go to this show with me? Because not many people can get around theatre. My mum's away this weekend. She's my usual go-to gal for theatre.
It's busy. It's a busy
time. Yeah. So I've gone, oh, great. I'll hit up Jordan. He'll probably want to come. He likes theatre. We used to do theatre shows together, so we have that in common, right? So I've hit him up and said, what are your plans over the weekend? He said, look, pretty free. Definitely can do Friday night. Saturday's a bit more tricky. But then I bloody double booked myself like I always do. So I had to fire on with Saturday. I started writing about this big explanation of, okay, so this guy who used to be my mate, yada, yada, I want to go and support him and see his show. What about 3 o'clock? And this is the show. And he goes, that is so weird. Literally, as you sent through that message, I have just clicked confirm to go and see that show at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Is that not a nine?
Not with you.
Well, no, as in him and his friend were sitting talking about this show. I've said, hey, do you want to see a show? In that meantime, he's gone, click confirm. I've said, here it is, 3 o'clock, it's called Dirt, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a solid eight.
Thank you.
Do you watch a lot of food TV? You know, like chefs cooking stuff.
No, I'm 26.
I actually like turning this stuff on as just kind of like relaxation background stuff. Just don't you dog me over there. but it's just like you put on the Food Network just while you're milling around the house and, you know, you see delicious food getting cooked. I'm all about it. Mm. You've got your range of well-known celebrity chefs. Your Gordon Ramsay's, your Nigella's. Jamie Oliver definitely sits on that. You know, that tier of celebrity chef, right?
He's very wholesome, I would say.
Well, you know, people have enjoyed him over the years. He had the failed restaurant in the CBD. Jamie Oliver has had a faux pas overnight. He's gone onto Instagram and he's wished his daughter Poppy a happy 18th birthday.
Jesus, she's 18.
Hey, Poppy, sorry I can't be there. He's obviously flitting around the world, maybe touring, or maybe he's cooking in Italy or something. I don't know what he's doing, but he's wishing her a happy 18th birthday from abroad. Only problem is she's turning 19.
Okay, we've got two issues here. Uh-huh. Issue number one, your 18th birthday as a young girl is the biggest night of your life. Uh-huh. And getting that wrong is really bad. The second bad thing is that he is not in the vicinity of her for her 18th alleged birthday.
Yeah, well, it's actually, yeah, exactly. It's her 19th. Awkward moment for Jamie. He's been potted online a little bit for it. Here's the thing. Easy to make mistakes as a parent.
Oh, here we go.
Right. I think we should give Jamie some latitude. He's a busy guy. He's got a lot on his mind. I say this because I forgot something just yesterday. I went and picked up my kids and Riley got in the car and said, oh, Dad, you know, have you thought about this for the swimming carnival tomorrow? Swimming carnival tomorrow, damn it.
What was your outside dialogue though? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I totally got that. Yeah, no, mate, we're good for the swimming carnival, but swimming carnival, I've obviously been signed up to help him out there and go along with him. Damn it. Yeah. Hey, to be fair, it's the day before, so thank you, Riley, for reminding me because, hell, today could have been a hell of a lot worse for Damon. Today at midday in the CBD, in fact, around Victoria Square, there is going to be the Women's March for Justice. This is happening from midday. This is a march you can go and get involved with.
This stuff is really hard to talk about. It's time that we have a conversation about it and that we not only have the conversation, but that we do something about it.
A lot has come to light over the last couple of weeks, I suppose, particularly around the federal government and these accusations of rape. Mm-hmm. The Attorney General's come out and denied any claims that have been made against him. Well, he actually came forward and said, I'm the guy that people are making claims are. Denied it. We've seen Brittany Higgins, who worked in the federal parliament, kind of ostracised for these claims that she's made. And it's really kind of lit a fire under a conversation I feel like we've had many, many times, but still hasn't had any kind of acceptable resolution.
Sarah Everard is another one as well, with the text me when you get home. I guess it's a bit of a viral trend at the moment, and it absolutely should be. Being a woman, it's really hard, and every single woman has felt scared walking home by herself at some point in her life.
So this is just like your general kind of feeling when it's, what, nighttime?
Yep. Even in the daytime, Damon, to be honest, I am a bit hyper aware because I've been through some tricky stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy to walk around and think it won't happen to me, and then it does, and you kind of go, whoa, or you might hear of a close friend that's gone through something that's obviously quite traumatising. It can happen, and it does happen, and it's still happening. It's hard knowing that you can't defend yourself a lot of the time.
And sometimes you get surprised because, you know, South Australia, it's a great place to live. Mm. You know, kind of first world country. You know, we are so lucky to be in this place, and you feel like it's safe, but maybe that's easy from a man's point of view to say, you know, I feel pretty comfortable here because women are obviously not having that same experience.
And if it does come up around the dinner table or with friends, it is, I mean, obviously very generally speaking, I'm not saying that every man is saying this, but it is more likely the man to say, oh, it's not that bad, love, like, you'll be all right, because I don't think they've experienced it or can necessarily always empathise with it. Now, I saw a post which I shared on my personal account over the week, and I want to read it out. It says, men, are you aware that if you are alone in a room, elevator or train carriage with a woman that you've never met, that she will be on alert for you and be slightly or more scared? So yes, not all men might be true, but the problem is we do not know which one of you this applies to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in your head you're thinking, oh, that dude walking behind me who's maybe a little bit older and bigger and wearing like a black hood, you think that's a threat, but the threat can also be the guy wearing a nice polo shirt and, you know, talking to you in a bar or whatever. It's really hard to know who it's going to be, and I think it would be nice if men could take the time to consider the presence that they have while walking on the street. I was talking to Adam, who we work with, about this the other day, and he said something to me that was really quite lovely to hear. He said, if I'm walking on the street in the day or at night behind a woman, I will always cross the road to the other side because I'm aware that I'm a big guy and I could be a threat, even though I'm absolutely not. It's about being aware of your presence. And I think that's the thing that needs to change. It's really easy to say, I'm not a bad guy, but you might not be. It's just that your presence can become a threat.
Imposing. I can almost hear the thought process of some people that are listening to this at the moment. And, you know, they say, oh, you know, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm not to blame here, or like, I'm not part of the problem. And this isn't about victimisation. This is about the fact that, you know, there's an entire gender in our community that are fearful because this stuff is happening.
Yeah.
Now, it may not be you, but you may have a friend who does, you know, kind of low-key silly stuff around females, and like you kind of let it go because it's just a bit of a joke, but there's a point where it doesn't become a joke anymore, and it's all of that behavior kind of adds up. And I mean I've got a five-year-old daughter at home. I'm not ever someone that has, you know, put women in, like, been threatening towards women, but I know I live in a society where that kind of stuff happens, and so for women to get out there and say no more, that's incredibly important. And I want to champion that as much as possible because I want my daughter to grow up in a society where she feels safe and empowered. And that's not the case right now.
Yeah, and it's not the case. Because of this, we do absolutely need to step it up as a society. And I think the place to start is by acknowledging within yourself that you could be perceived as a threat even though you are not, and to act accordingly.
Yeah.
When you are in the vicinity of a woman, whether that's at night, in the day, where you might come across as a threat. We are talking this morning, what inappropriate thing have you had to stop your kid from doing?
Now, you don't have kids, but you're the one who brought this up.
Yeah, I brought this up because I was talking about it in my personal life. You know, when you're just reminded of a really funny story and then you think, heck, I forgot that happened. So mine is from a teacher perspective, which I reckon you'd be the king of this topic because you are a dad. You've got two kids under 10, but you've also been a teacher for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is really actually your domain.
Tell me what sparked you, and I'll give you a couple.
Okay, all right. So I worked as a performing arts teacher. So I've never actually been a teacher, but I've taught kids like lunchtime sort of programs and whatever.
You're the swan in, have fun with everyone, rev them all up and send them back to class.
Yeah, it's the best. And you definitely get paid more than what you're worth sometimes in those roles. So I used to go to this school and run a performing arts program with the kids. So we would kind of work towards like an end of year concert or whatever.
Yeah.
And I love these kids. They were so beautiful. And we used to do singing classes, and I used to give them the opportunity to sing a solo, help build their confidence, and it was a great chance for them to kind of express themselves, you know.
Okay.
And it was great to see some kids be too shy and then eventually feel like they could get up and sing, and, you know, it was really nice. Anyway, we had a solo workshop one day, and this little girl, she was real spunky, got up and started singing. Usually the kids go for Moana.
Yeah, like
Frozen,
Disney songs, surely.
Yeah, or like JoJo. You know JoJo?
JoJo Siwa.
Yeah. But this girl went for a Katy Perry song, and she began singing, and it went like this. I want to see your peacock, cock, your peacock. I want to see your peacock. Woo, woo. Like, she was like amping up the class. There it is. Thank you.
Your peacock. I want to see
Now, in this song, when she's talking about peacock cock cock, is she talking about the animal with the, like, the, you know, the bright feathers and the plumage?
Well, I believe the 7-year-old girl singing the song was singing about the bird. Was Katy Perry? I don't know. But I had this moment where I was watching this all unfold, and you know when you're a parent or a teacher, you kind of you watch things internally, and then your outside reactions are very minimal.
Yeah.
And I then went, oh, my God, I'm the one in charge here. Like, I'm the one who's supposed to stop this. I felt so bad. I was like, oh, we don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Come and sit down. Over here, Gemma. That wasn't her name. I've just pulled that out of a hat there. But, yeah, very uncomfortable.
It's great.
Yeah.
Did everyone else give her, like, a warm round of applause? What were the rules in the class? Like, if someone got up and solo performed, did you just...
Oh, it was a free-flowing class. It was respond how you will, but the kids were amped, and she had dance moves, Damon. She had practiced this. Yeah. It's an amp song.
Get up and about. I mean, inappropriate things have happened in all sorts of forms over the years. You know, for my own kids, it's kind of like when they're toddlers or, you know, they're just kind of toilet training themselves, you know, they'll just completely dack themselves out of the back garden and just, you know, wherever's good.
That's alarming.
And, you know, if you've got people around, it's, oh, okay, just, you know, everyone shield your eyes. You know, Riley's just doing his business here.
On the grass outside.
Yeah, why not?
He must have spent too much time with Maggie, your golden retriever.
Yeah, exactly. in terms of school class, sometimes you get that sixth sense and you kind of see things unfolding and you kind of like in that slow motion, like, no, you have to kind of dive in the way or stop kids from saying things. But my favourite inappropriate kids memories come from, like, Hazel's dance recitals.
Great.
Where you are banking on that one kid who just forgets what they're doing or loses their mind and, you know, everyone else walks off of stage. And that one kid just stays out there because they're loving the applause. And so they just take a couple of extra bows. They put their hand up. They're just enjoying their moment. They're just in that space.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd is responding to it. But, like, the dance teacher on the side is just kind of losing their brain.
Yeah, and then they start singing, I want to see your
peacock. Molly, listening to the podcast back, there's just one thing that I think we need to do together to really put a stamp on the entire week.
Okay.
I want to see your peacock, your peacock. I want to see your peacock. That story's just right in my brain now.
I mean, it's forever been stained in mine. I'm glad I've got to share it. I don't think I've ever told that story on air before, so there you go.
That girl is immortalised forever. What makes me laugh the most about it is every time you've told me the story, you've busted out the dance moves. Are they the dance moves of the 7-year-old?
Oh, 100%, unfortunately.
Okay, I'm just going to play the song here. You do the dance moves. I'll just describe what you're doing. Here we go. Oh, wow. Okay. She's kind of done the half shoulder rotation and she's pumping the hand on the chest. Oh, there is a lot of side to side dipping action going on as well.
And she did the head.
I just love how clearly it comes to you. Like, it was that good a performance.
Look, Damon, some things you just never forget. And that moment will always be in my brain.
That lucky girl. That is the week that has been. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favourite podcast app to search Damon and Molly. I mean, you found this one, so you've done half the effort already.
Do you know what would be nice is if you could tell your friends as well? You know, spread the word, spread the love.
How many friends would you like the person listening right now to tell?
Well, Mum, since you're the only one who listens, could you just tell one of the Julies, you know? Just one of the Julies.
Thanks, Sue. This is Damon and Molly.